which uses a D and an L. Close, yes.
Little Nikita is about 6 years old and is playing a Wizards and Dragons version of Scrabble called Tommy and the Magical Words with her Aunt Britt. We're down in the Australian Centre for the Moving Image Games Lab, where kids even younger are playing the latest generation of video games with their mothers and even grandmothers. It wasn't so long ago that any kid playing video games or computer games would be looked down upon by the older generation, who would expect children to get out and play football, cricket, or catch tadpoles in a stream.
I think it's always been the case where each generation, I mean, there's always new technology coming out, and people tend to be a little bit apprehensive of new technologies and what's actually going on. And a lot of that has to do with just a lack of understanding of what is actually going on.
Anthony Hetry is a former teacher and is now a video game reviewer and member of the Office for Film and Literature Classification Review Board. Mr. Hetry has grown up with gaming and adores and respects it. So much so, he has just written a guide for parents in helping them understand gaming.
One of the big inspirations was when my son came along, I sort of had all that background. And I thought, well, you know what, there's a lot of other parents out there that maybe feel a bit apprehensive because they haven't had the benefit of growing up with the games like I had. And so that was the whole crux of, you know, why do a guide? Because I knew from, you know, working with the kids' magazines and stuff that, you know, parents were emailing and they were saying, well, what would you recommend? Or is this any good? Or, you know, should I be worried about this? And my big thing was, you know, you always, every parent's going to be different. And I thought the only solution to that was to get parents informed and then allow them to draw their own conclusions and make their own decisions, bringing their own feelings and whatnot to the table. So, you know, gain an understanding, and then each person is going to be different.
We met Nikita a little earlier. Let's see what sort of games she has and she likes. Have you played Scrabble before? Because
yeah.
This is like Scrabble.
Yeah, I've got 3 games of Scrabble at home.
Do you play video games very much?
Yeah, I've got it. At home, I've got 9 games on the TV.
Oh, okay. Are they these sort of games where you make words, or are they jumping games? Or?
Like jumping and stuff. Jumping and killing and...
Which games do you like more, the words type games or the jumping games? Or the killing games?
Probably. I've got other games like Dig Dug and stuff, but out of all the games we have, I probably like Pac-Man the best.
Okay. The violence, the implied drug use, sexual references angles, do they sell in larger amounts?
Oddly enough, I mean, there is that perception that, you know, all that stuff sells. And while it's true to some degree, if you look at all games across the board, the amount of games that have G and PG ratings, which is Australian rating system, far outsell stuff that has M or MA. Probably one of the games that's usually, you know, brought up when they're signing stuff is the Grand Theft Auto series. That has sold very well, but it's a game that's specifically designed for adults. And, you know, I think, you know, adults get a bit of escapism out of playing the game. The other thing with it as well is that it is actually technically a very good game. But then on the other end of the coin, you'll end up with games which just use that to try to get some free controversy from the media and drum up sales on a game that's actually a bad game, as in, like, it's just, you know, has not a lot of merit.
While Mr. Hetry is all for giving parents and video game users the right to choose, the Office for Film and Literature Classification has nonetheless deemed that any game considered to have a stronger than MA15+ rating be banned in Australia. Margaret Pomerantz is a respected film reviewer and board member of Watch on Censorship. She takes us through the reasons for this restriction.
When all the attorneys general of the various states voted on these recommendations, and the R-rated video games didn't go through. And I believe it was because the Attorney General of South Australia, Michael Atkinson, who's still Attorney General, voted against it, and that was seconded by the then Attorney General federally, Darrell Williams. Now, I mind that. I mind the conservative elements of South Australia determining what the whole of Australia has the right to do. And I was tremendously disappointed that it happened that way. But the other states just sort of backed down and went, OK, because no one really cares enough.
So why would they separate video games out and not be able to put an R classification onto that, considering all of this falls under the same office, basically?
Well, I mean, I do feel that the people who voted against it believe that video games are nasty anyway, and that the R-rated games would somehow fall into the hands of under-18s, that it would be easier for games to fall into the hands of under-18s. And that's what I was saying. You know, I do believe that, that is where you get a nanny state, where a nanny state says, I don't trust parents to make sure their children are doing the right thing. Therefore, we won't let adults have access to these games, which is, to my mind, totally unreasonable. I'm saying anything that involves a crime in its making should automatically not be allowed in this country. I'm not unreasonable about this, but I'm saying every other form of film or video usually has art as its intention or propagation of some sort. And I believe adults in this country ought to be able to see what the rest of the world sees. I think it's ridiculous that we are being denied films that are freely available in America and Europe.
Is there a role at all for classification in the OFLC sense?
I think people want guidance. I think they want information and guidance. But it's almost like the OFLC is becoming a moribund organisation, because you can actually access anything through the internet. And so their role as advisor, I would have thought, is becoming even more important. Given that people can access things, they want information about the sort of things they're accessing and who they're suitable to be seen by.
While this ban on R-rated video games still exists via high-level government intervention, games developers have to adjust their creations just to be allowed into the country. While Mr. Hetrie has little say over the R-rating ban itself, he believes that parents are still the best arbiters when it comes to the viewing habits of their children and of the available titles out there.
Obviously, you know, back when I was younger, I mean, it was very much just playing for the enjoyment of it. Then when I started writing for magazines, there's some responsibility that comes with that, because, you know, principally they were kids' magazines, and I tried to be very, very careful with that. You know, well, obviously I vetted the type of games that we'd even that we put into the magazine. And then the next level of that was, you know, becoming a parent, opened my eyes, and over the years getting emails from parents as well, there may be this need out there. You know, parents are still not, you know, that might be a lot better than they were when I was a kid, but they're still not completely comfortable with video games as an entertainment form. And I thought, well, the way to go is just to try to inform people. This is just one of those things where there just isn't anything that's conclusive. And, you know, because of that, it makes it very, very hard to make a statement about something like that. I really think that if you have a look at something and as a parent you don't feel comfortable with it, you know, well, don't let your kids play it. And I just think that's just, you know, that's common sense.